That's nice. Thank you for returning back after yesterday. As you have heard the notice, I'm not politically correct. You not noticed that yesterday. But again, the idea is to teach the word of God that will be clear. I'm not here for academical or intellectual race or competition. I couldn't care less about that. The bottom line is we take a verse, we go out, understanding that. If we did not understand it, we are wasting our time. The idea when people come to the church, they need to hear God. If they didn't hear God, close the room. This is the issue. We are not playing with God. Before that, there are some books that I would like to encourage you to have. Again, the reason I'm doing so, and don't tell me, here the Jewish guys speak about money. If you do that, woe to you. The reason is very simple. I get nothing out of it. It all goes to the church. You buy 1 million books or 7 million books. Listen very carefully. My salary does not change. I'm being paid a salary enough for my livelihood. If you as a pastor make books, it belongs to the church. It does not belong to you. It belongs to the church. So the reason I say so, because there is good material. You buy it, you enjoy. Who else? The church. We have our summer camps, whatever. It pays, and it's why not? So it's not a personal issue. Is this clear? Is this clear? Great. So, books. We don't have many, but you can order if they are not. Jesus in the Old Testament. When I was 17, I accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. So that's my kind of defending my faith. How come Jesus is God? How come you have a Trinity in the Old Testament? Of course you have. You cannot worship God unless through the Trinity. But it's all a Jewish issue. It's not a Christian patent that belongs to the Gentile. Okay? So it's there. Another one. People are looking for, let's go to our Jewish roots. Listen very carefully. If you'll run only for Jewish roots instead of running to Jesus, you will smell the flowers from the roots. Do you understand what it means? You'll be dead in hell. Look for your Christian, for Jesus roots. Jewishness does not give a place in heaven. The blood of Christ does give it. Do you understand it? And in the church, there is no a Jew or a Gentile. I'm a Jew. You're a Gentile. What makes me a pastor? A gift that God gave me. What makes you what you are? A gift God gives you. Not a blue ID or an Israeli passport. Is this clear? Galatians speaks about it. Very recommended. And don't tell me, I'm so busy, where would I have time to do so? Are you all going to the restroom at least once a day? Use the time. I'm reading articles and books there because why to waste my time? I'm doing homework there. Gifts. What does the spiritual gifts speaks about? I don't care what people feel. What does the Bible say? It's not attacking people or anything. No, it says, what does it say? What does it say? Read it and see. Another one, future. It's a new version. It's the 47 pages. It has edition of the feasts of the Lord in it. Okay? So it's a new edition. It looks, what will be the events from today until eternity. It takes major event and expand it. What will be to the Jews, Gentiles, and believers in each event. In short, that's why it's like this. Usually, these kind of books come with 7 kilos. So no one read them. So this one, it's idiot proof. You read, you understand, and you're happy. What can be better than that? Another one is Tzvi. It's a biography. Also this one, Halina. It's biographies. Very interesting. This happened to be my dad. This one, I don't know. No, I don't. But again, it's a dear woman. She went through Poland. She's a Polish woman. Went through the Holocaust, both of them. Different stories. The same God, the same grace. Very recommended. So now I finished the business issue. And now we're going to run on the Bible. Okay. Now, all of you know the book of Judges. Say yes.
Yes.
Good. It's nice. So I'm not here to kind of invent a new book, okay? And some of you ask me to speak slower. Give me more minutes, I'll be slower. But when you take minutes, how can I be slower? Okay, So I'll try to do it with English accent. At least you will understand what I'm saying. Okay, we're going to go through the book of Judges, the book of Ruth, and 1 Samuel. And you wonder, what are you doing? That kind of a salad, Nathan, don't you ask yourself, what kind of a salad is going to do three books in 1 hour? No, 55 minutes, I was told. So the idea is as follows. When the Bible is written and the books are set, God did not put many books with different ideas in order to help us to put our kids to sleep at night. Oh, little kid, I'll give you a story about Jonah. Oh, my son loved Jonah. When he was 3 years old, we gave him a story every night. Every night. Danny, what do you want to hear? Jonah. Okay. Second night. What do you want to hear? Jonah. After 1 month, the whale went out of my ears. I mean, how many times can you hear it? It's a nice book, and you can really put your kids to sleep nicely and they remember Jonah. But that was not the reason it's in the Bible. Are we set with that? And sometimes you wonder why this book is next to this book. What is the relation of this paragraph to the whole book altogether? And when you go into the Word of God, and by God's grace, you see, okay, I realize the puzzle. I realize why this one is here and how it relates to the other one. Listen, your jaw falls. It's a joy. And it gives you the fun and to understand that the sovereignty of God stands behind every word, every verse, every line, even into the place where it stands. If you will come tomorrow to the church, remind me the name of the church, Pastor?
Grace Baptist.
But no, tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning I'm teaching there, and it's going to be, listen very carefully, a fly above the book of Psalms. And if you think that the book of Psalms is 150 songs, pick and choose, you are deadly wrong. Did you ever ask yourself, how come chapter 90, which is the oldest chapter, is not chapter 1, and chapter 126, which is the youngest one, is not number 150? Who put number 1 and 2 where they are? Why are they there? And what is the relationship between groups of psalms which are bundles, bundles with a specific topic, questions, answers, a story. And when you hear it, you are glued to the chair. He says, I never saw psalms like that. Come tomorrow and see. It's magnificent. You know why? It's the Word of God. That's why. It's not yesterday's newspaper that you cannot read again because it's a waste of time. So today we see also the book of Judges. I will, of course, the general idea is Ruth. There is a king in Israel, David, of course. But we'll start from Judges. So open Judges, and we are walking through Judges. I will take more verses later on from Ruth and 1 Samuel. Judges, it's flying above. Joshua just finishes his life. And what is the verse every Christian family know, and most of you have a big plate next to your kitchen or the entrance to your house? What does it say there? And for me and my household, we will serve what? Exactly. How many do that? I don't know, but many put the note, okay? Also, the people of Israel says, yes, we believe in God. We will serve the Lord. When it comes to the bottom line, they serve rabbis, not the Lord. They serve traditions, not the Lord. They're looking for Jewish roots, but hate Jesus. And almost puke when you say next to them the word Trinity. Guys, when you really serve the Lord, you do not find what you like. You find Christ Jesus. And you pray to fall in love in what he likes. Let's put things in the right order. And I told you, I'm not politically correct. You can fire me any moment. The issue is very clear. The book of Judges gives us a general idea. And that's what we're going to see and then jump to Ruth. Because Judges give you a kick into Ruth. Okay? That's the idea. So what is the major circle in the book of Judges, which you all know? Joshua told them, and for me, I will serve the Lord. I showed you what the Lord has done for us. Make sure you are hugging God. Don't leave him. He died, the elders died, and what did the people do? They leave the Lord. So the people of Israel have left the Lord, and when I say left the Lord, what does that mean? They twisted, they drifted from the terms of the covenant. God gave them the covenant in Sinai. They drifted from the covenant. That's what it means. They didn't do as God commanded them to do, and there is no faith in them, between them and God. So the moment they drifted, what did God do? He brought enemies in order to attack them. So the enemies are coming against the people, and what do the people do? Like a small kid, you get a kick. Ah, daddy, help me, of course. Daddy helps, even if you're a bad boy, and come and help you. So when they cry to God, because God is faithful to his promises and commitments, he comes and hugs them. How does he hug them? Bring up one of the people to be a judge, to be a ruler, and gives him power in order to overcome the enemies. And now they have 5 years of peace, 20 years of peace, or sometimes 80 years of peace. Temporary. When this judge dies, what happens? They forget what happened, and they go drift away from the Lord. And what does the Lord is doing? He fulfilled what he promised in Leviticus 27 and Deuteronomy 27:28. I'm going to bring an enemy to you. And that's what he's doing. And what do the people do? Again, shouting. What does God do? Remember his grace and bring a new judge and so on. The book of Judge lasts a long 300 years. Here, come and see it. You see? About more than 20 judges over about 300 years. And if you just count it, you will come sometimes to 400. But don't forget that some of the judges are overlapping. Okay? So that's the situation. For example, Otniel, 40 years of quiet. Okay? And then after him, 18 years of oppression. Then come Ehud ben Gera, 80 years of quiet. And after him, Shamgar ben Anat, Dvorah, you know Dvorah, the prophetess, yes? Gid'on ben Yoash, and then Abimelech, Tola ben Pua ben Dodo. Try to remember the names, tomorrow you have a test. Yair, Yiftach, Ivtzan. By the way, Ivtzan, you see Ivtzan? Jewish rabbis believe that this is Boaz from the book of Ruth. I'm not saying that's what it is. I'm just sharing with you some traditions. That's all. Okay? I cannot enforce it. I cannot come and say for sure. But if you'll check their commentaries, they'll come and tell you most likely that's him. But just kind of information that I passed. And then you have Elon from Zebulun, Avdon ben Hillel, and Samson. Everyone knows Samson, correct? Yes. Okay. Now, you take all these judges. Try to imagine if you go through the book of Judges. Between the judges, almost every second generation have tasted a personal holocaust. I repeat it. Average, every second generation have tasted enemies who come upon them, killed their children, took them away, stole everything. Can you imagine that the chance for you to see your grandchildren is less than 40%? Who wants to live in such place? Not every one of them gave them 80 years of peace. Most of them was much shorter, a few years. And then another war, another war. And there are no wars without blood. Can you understand that every second or third generation have their own personal disasters? It's a nightmare. So this is through hundreds of years. And then what we see, chapter 17 and 18, the abomination of the tribe of Dan. Remember the story of Dan? They don't want to be where they are, next to Tel Aviv area. They want to go to a quiet place. What do you mean quiet? Next to Tel Aviv, there are the Philistines and their enemies. Who needs this headache? But listen, Dan, God gave you the place. It was not a buffet of territories. God is the one who assigned this place to you. It's not you to choose. If you have a problem, cry to God. You cannot just go and say, let me kill another nation and steal theirs. It doesn't go like this. So they went to the north, to South Lebanon, saw a quiet tribe, and decided to kill them all and to dwell there. This is a murder. This is a murder. It's not a joke. So it described what Dan has done. Okay? Those are chapters 17 and 18. Why is it there? To see what happened to the people of Israel. What do you think? They have a better DNA than you? Those are people like everyone. And later on I'll show you what is the purpose of all the book of Judges. Chapter 19. Remember the abomination of the tribe of Benjamin and the risk of its annihilation? You know, the woman in Gibeah, remember the story? The guy went to Bethlehem with his concubine. After being there, he returned back to his place in the Mount of Ephraim. On the way, he needed to sleep somewhere. So he said, no, I will not sleep among the Gentiles. These Gentiles are very, very weird. Let me sleep among a Jewish tribe area. So he stayed there next to the Benjamite, among the Benjamin in Hebrew. It's much easier. In the tribe of Benjamin, okay? At night, these guys came to them, and it's exactly like Sodom and Gomorrah. They took this girl, raped her until she had no life. In the morning, he cut her to 12 pieces and sent it to each one of the tribes to show them that's what they did. The tribes came against Benjamin and told them, give us the criminals. And the tribe says, like the three musketeers, all for one, one for all. So they killed them all. About 600 have been left of the tribe of Benjamin. The tribe of Benjamin was in an extent, almost to a bridge of annihilation. So the book of Judges ends, okay, with the people, look at it. None of the judges succeeded in bringing true and eternal peace. Okay, remember what the people see in 300 years. We had so many judges. None of them really could bring an eternal peace. And see how God is leading them to a unique position. At the end of the period of the judges, the people of Israel almost destroyed the tribe of Benjamin. And if Dan will continue what he's doing, he will be annihilated as well. So if God would have said, you know what, people of Israel? I took my hands out. You do what you want. You just let them have another 400 years, and there will be no Israelites anymore. Do you understand it? Israelites without God will be nulled. This is the point of the book of Judges. Eternal peace is not by mere human beings. It's by God. You take God out of the picture, there is no Israel as well. If God had not intervened, the people would have succeeded in bringing about his own destruction. For the redemption of the people of Israel demands a redeemer who is God himself. This is the conclusion of the book of Judges. So the people of Israel realize that that's what they have and how the book ends. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Remember the verse or not? But this is the result of 300 years of do it yourself. You don't want me to intervene. You want to do it yourself. Be my guest. You will not see your grandchildren. Absolutely not your grand-grandchildren. And if I will not really intervene, in a few hundred years, erase the nation. Or you'll be assimilated among others and no one knows who is a Jew and who is not. Now, this is what will happen if you leave the people for themselves. But let me tell you a secret. God has a plan for Israel. I'll repeat it. God has a plan for Israel. And part of his plan, part of it, is to bring the Messiah from these people. That means if these people will be annihilated, you Gentiles will go to hell. Do you understand that?
Yes.
For your own sake, keep Israel. I say it in a provocative way. For your own sake, for the sake of the world, keep Israel. That's the idea behind it. It's not the glory of Israel. It has nothing to do with it. It's the glory of God. God has a plan. In his plan, and don't tell me you don't like the plan. You don't like the plan? Go to another star and make your own world. The idea is very simple. God is God and he's the only one. You have a problem with it? No. I surely hope so, no. So God has a plan and no one asks you if you like it. That's what it is. Okay? And in this plan, God says, I'm going to save the world through whom? Through my son. My son will come as a human being. Through what? Through a nation. Which nation? I choose Israel. Why Israel? Shut up, who asked you? Who asked you? It's not for you to choose. This is God's sovereignty. He knows what he's doing. Imagine your son is 3 years old or, you know, 5 years old when they ask endless questions. And every time you tell him, don't cross on red, only on green. Why? I mean, what do you mean? I'm a father or not? First of all, shut up and do it. Later on, I will explain if I want to. I'm not kidding. You think that I'm just using these kind of words? My son was saved because of that. 3 years old. We educated well our children. First of all, you obey what they told you. Second, there is time, ask questions. You will never stop doing until I will tell you explanation. No, you will do because I told you to do. Later on, I will explain if needed. That's life preserver. We went out of a restaurant. My son just left and he went between two cars and ran into the road. And I saw a taxi coming. I thought, Danny, stop! Imagine Danny will tell me, why? I'm not joking. Kids today do that. Because you educate them that they are somebodies. They have rights. And they can tell the parents what to do. And the parents need to study from them. Really? Imagine you go to the army. The first day in boot camp, you are the general. Why? It's the same thing. It's the same thing. If this is stupidity, that's stupidity as well. A kid, be quiet and listen to your parents. If you have a godly kid, it's a blessing. You are in the listening mode, not in the speaking mode. Speaking mode will come when you have something in your brains. Right now, it's listening mode. It sounds radical? Could be. But see how our world looks like. Now you know it's correct. Anyway, so the people of Israel have come to this position. You see, you know what? For 300 years, where God is. So most likely, everyone is doing whatever he wants. We will do what we like. There is no manager to the world. And God hears that and says, say who? You really think so? I gave you 300 years to play with a toy. That doesn't mean that I went to sleep. What is 300 years for God? A third of a second? He just blinked. Whoop, 300 years went. What is it for God? So here, a nation that God chose to take the Messiah from them in order to save the rest of humanity, in order to kill the head of the devil, to bring all the people to the position like in Eden in order to perform God's initial plan. What is his initial plan? That we will serve him and glorify his name. Always remember, all our Bible is only in Genesis 1 and 2. If there will be no sin, there is no more Bible. Genesis chapter 1 and 2, that's all the Bible. Because of the sin, we have 500 papers. Without the sin, we wouldn't have it. So how does it end? In Revelation 21, 22. It's the other side of the book. Almost identical to the first two chapters. So what is in between? The procedure, how to overcome the sin. So everything which is written is how to explain to you, how do I go back to Eden? That's all the Bible. And the key one to go back to Eden, to God's presence, is the blood of the Messiah. This is the story of the Bible. This is the gospel. And if people ask you, what is the gospel? In one word, it's Jesus. The story of Jesus. What God has done to me. If you invent something else, you go to hell. Is this clear? God is not playing. God is not playing. That's all. Simply that's all. Just first of all, to make it simple, simple, simple. So also in the book of Judges is, you didn't want me? I allow you to play. Romans chapter 1, I allow sinners to play with their sins. Therefore, they are sick, they are this, and they are that. You know, it's also an option. Another option is to come and bang your head and tell you, stop it. You see? So God may choose the two. And in my son, when he went through the cars and ran to the road, and my wife remembers it so well, we just shout, Daddy, stop! He was shocked. He was freezing. A life. A life. Nathan, do you hear? Say yes. Always listen to your parents. That's good. He's going to share, ladies at home. Give him a hamburger later on to calm him down, okay? But really, I look so serious, and so because I enjoy it. It's not because I'm angry. I'm not angry. Usually my wife sits in the front and me like this. Kind of smile. People think that you're angry. I'm not angry. I enjoy it. It's the word of God. Okay? So that's the issue of judges, to tell the people that's where you go without God. And in order to have a total peace, you need God. If you come to the understanding that there is no king in Israel, it's a wrong understanding. God has a plan, and his plan is to bring the Messiah. That's why God gave the book of Ruth immediately after. You see? There is no king in Israel! And God says, you make me laugh. Take the book of Ruth. In one word, what is the purpose of the book of Ruth? One word, not two. One word. David. David, that's it. That's how the book ends. David. Why David? Because from David will come the seed from Genesis 3:15 that will crush the head of the devil. That is all. This is my king, and this is the king that will bring peace, peace eternal. You know him, you come back to Eden. You miss him, you go to hell. Or in other words, all the people enter to this world in a VIP seat, first class, in a train directed to hell. In order to go to hell, lady, you need to do nothing. Literally, nothing. You're already on the way. In order to go to heaven, you need to call in the name of Jesus as Lord and Savior. Our default is on the train, VIP, first class to hell. To heaven is to call Jesus. Let's continue. So now comes the book of Ruth. And in the book of Ruth, please open your Bible because we are going to see some pearls there, okay? Again, it's not that I can go every verse time-wise. I forgot when we started, remind me. So in order to count. What time did we start the lesson? 2. I hope I know mathematics, okay. When it comes to this, every time I say, I don't know mathematics, but it's okay. Now, the book of Ruth, I gave it a title. And please open your book of Ruth. The book of Ruth is Never Leave Ephrata. Don't leave Ephrata, okay? Now, do you know what is Bethlehem Ephrata? Who doesn't know what is Bethlehem Ephrata? Nathan, do you know what is Bethlehem Ephrata? Don't be shy. When I was 12, 13, I didn't know. How old are you? You have options. Okay. Who knows? Who knows what is Bethlehem Ephrata? Yes, but that's the place where Jesus was born. You know that. It's correct. Bethlehem, that means house of bread. Okay? When I say Ephrata, why did I say Ephrata? Because there are three Bethlehems. Ephrata is the one in Micah chapter 5, that's where Jesus was born. Okay? So, in the book of Ruth, there is a practical issues, but there is a big idea, the spiritual idea. Never, ever leave Bethlehem Ephrata. In other words, never leave Jesus. That's the idea behind it, okay? So, let's see a little bit. I'm going through my notes in Hebrew, okay? And you can divide chapter 1, as you see, in the first 5 verses, they are leaving Bethlehem Ephrata. Who? Abimelech, Ruth, and their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And if you know the Hebrew, I mean, your jaw already falls here. Abimelech, my father is a king. Naomi, that means pleasant. And then you realize, wow, Abimelech and Naomi most likely were born during a time of peace, during a time of comfort time. So the parents gave them nice names. God is my king, pleasant, Naomi, that's beautiful. And then there's children, disease, and annihilation. Hey, annihilation, come home. Well, bring your brother disease. Come on. Why would you call them like this? Because then most likely it was time of distress. Otherwise, you wouldn't have a reason to call your children in those names. And what happened? There was famine in Bethlehem Ephrata. Why? Because people left the Lord. People left the Lord. What you should do? Repent. Repent and come back to the Lord. What did they do? They went to Moab. And what did God tell them about Moab? Never go there. Never go there. Absolutely never marry a Gentile non-believer. God forbid. A follower of Jehovah will marry an idol worshiper? Are you a nut? How could that be? So by their doings, you realize that they are sample of the people of Israel, drifting from the covenant. God gave you a land. It's a promised land. You should not leave it. Number one. Number two, if there is a problem, call God to fix it. Number three, you go to Moab, to Gentiles, idol worshippers, and marry an idol worshipper? What happened to you? What kind of book do you read? So all the picture in these five verses is, whoa, if this is how Israel looked like, no wonder that's what happens. It's a sample of the bad things that happened. Okay? And see what happened there. Her husband died and also her two sons. Okay? So she is left. Naomi is left only with her two daughter-in-laws. And now, pay attention because later on we are not going to need it. Mahlon is married, if I remember well, to Ruth. And they are married for 10 years and she's not pregnant. Pay attention. And these issues are not mentioned just for fun. You go to Deuteronomy chapter 27, 28, God tells you, if you leave the terms of the covenant, your womb will be empty, you will not have fruit, you know this and this and that. Whatever happened to them fits to the condition God gave. 10 years she was married to him, no kids. Later on, she just smelled Boaz and she's pregnant. What happens? You see, God is talking business. God is serious. When God punishes you, never think how to be angry at God and revenge. It's a bad joke. The good reaction is repent, submit, shut up, accept what he tells you. He is your father. No one loves you more than him. Literally, no one. Lick your wounds and really repent. Don't argue with God. Don't argue with God. So in verse 6, she stands up from Moab back to Bethlehem Ephrata. She goes back to Bethlehem Ephrata, and you see that she says, okay, let's go back to there. She goes back, Naomi, and we know the story. Orpah, the meaning of Orpah is your backside of the head. That means when you see the Oref, the backside of your person, that means it tells you hasta la vista, okay? He goes. Ruth stayed with her, okay? And she told her, your God is my God, your land is my land, your people is my people, and she attached to Naomi, and she comes with her. I go to verse 22. Again, I'm flying above, but I'll give you the nuggets of this place. In verse 22, chapter 1, verse 22, I'm paraphrasing it from my Hebrew, and Naomi returned, and together with Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, they returned from the fields of Moab, and they came to the Bethlehem, that means to the house of bread, in the beginning of what? Of the harvest of the barley. And you wonder, so what? There is a big what there. In many cases in the Bible, a little statement, it's the bullet in the head. More than that, it's the bullet between the eyes. That's everything. And if you miss that, go back and read it again. You simply miss the story altogether. What happens in the beginning of the harvest of the barley? What is it? It's the third appointed times of the Lord. Passover, After Passover, you have what? The Feast of Unleavened Bread. Okay? And number three is? No. The number three is the sheaf of the offering. That's the beginning of the barley harvest. It's always Sunday. Always Sunday. Leviticus chapter 23, from verse, to all the chapter actually, but from verse 9 to 14 is the harvest of the barley. It's always on Sunday. Now, and you wonder, what did the writer wanted us to understand here? This is the third appointed times of the Lord. The third feast of the Lord. Do you understand what is the meaning of the feasts of the Lord? God tells the people of Israel, bring me your calendars. Those are 8 dates you need to mark. You go nowhere. It's a meeting between you and me. In these specific dates, you are going to meet the Messiah. You are not going to be in this meeting. You will meet Antichrist. Is this clear or not? It's a meeting I have with you. It's a meeting and dates I chose so you may know who is my Savior. If you miss these dates, you do not know who is the Savior. That's the idea behind it. So God gave us 8 dates. I put Shabbat aside because Shabbat is a symbol of the rest and the confidence of our salvation. So here I'm taking the 8 holidays, Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Sheaf of the Offering, and Pentecost. Those are the first 4. And then you jump to Leviticus 23, verse 10, 23 and up. Pay attention to my wordings right now. Number 5 is remembrance of the trumpet. It doesn't say Rosh Hashanah. It's a Gentile invention. Remembrance of the trumpet. And who is the trumpet? According to Jeremiah chapter 6, this is the voice of God. Go to Exodus chapter 19. So every first of Tishrei, you remember the voice of the trumpet. To do what? Always, this is the reference of the law. This is the reference of the Ten Commandments. Always, always, before Day of Atonement, go to fix the reference and remember what God said. Align yourself with God's holiness and righteousness. And then, Day of Atonement. And then, you have the Feast of Tabernacles. And then the 8th day is the gathering. Now see the beautiful issue. On what day exactly Jesus was crucified? Passover. What a coincidence. His death gave us the new covenant, which is the unleavened bread. What a coincidence. On Sunday, what a coincidence. He rose from the dead. What a coincidence. And 7 weeks after, the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 came upon the first believers. What a coincidence. When Ruth came back to Bethlehem, she came back understanding she has no life. She has lost everything. 2 of her sons, her husband. Do you understand how much she worth? Do you understand how much she worth without a husband? 0, nothing. And she comes to Bethlehem, what time? In the feast of hope. Because on that day, Jesus resurrected. And whoever believes in him will also have a life that he has. She came to Bethlehem in the day of hope of eternal life. In chapter 2, I know time is against me, but I'll jump as fast as possible. In chapter 2 and 3, what happened, and you know the story, Ruth sent her to the fields to go, and according to the law, if you have a field, you cannot really cut the corners. The corners really belong to the poor people in the nation. See how God's grace is so wonderful. You are poor, you have no money. Go to anyone's field, the corners he cannot touch. It belongs to God. So go and cut a little bit and bring food for your home. What a wonderful God. Coincidence-wise, she went to the field of whom? Boaz. And when you see the character of Boaz, it's similar to the character of Christ himself. He's the one who is looking for the people. He is the one who adopted her, even though she's a Moabite. He have heard what she did, and he adopted her. By the way, Boaz traditionally was about 80 years old. That's according to Jewish tradition. When Jewish tradition tells you something about the Messiah, don't listen. When they tell you about something else, they're really good, okay? So don't throw the baby with the dirty water. Try to filter out some things. So the idea is that that's because he was one of the judges in the gates of the city. You cannot be there 20 years old. That means you already have your marriage, you have your family, you finished this part. Now you are serving the nation. That's the idea behind it. So you are not 40, you are not 50, you are not 30, okay? So he's Boaz, and he adopted her and is really with her. In chapter 3, it's the beautiful issue. How many of you have heard that Ruth went kind of like a sexy girl in order to seduce Boaz? That is not the case. But there are many people who teach like that. Okay? Let the Bible teach you what happened. And if the Bible explains how she was dressed, and in another place in the Bible, this clothing is copy-paste in text, it's a spank in the head. You need to compare them. It's the same message. So Naomi tells her, you go to the threshing floor and take a good shower, put a good dress, put oil upon yourself, and go to the bottom of his feet. If you'll check what she told her to do, you know how she was dressed. She was dressed for a wedding. Do you understand? Ruth was not there to seduce anyone. She was there to obey God. She was dressed for a wedding. You know where I take it from? Ezekiel 16. In Ezekiel 16, you have the four stages, how God is choosing Israel, rescuing them. Israel became a prostitute, and now they repent, and God says, now we are going to remarry. And then it described, I will give you a beautiful dress, I will anoint you, and it's the same wordings. Absolutely the same. So the way God prepared Israel to marry Israel, it's identical to the way Ruth or Naomi prepared Ruth to sit on the bottom feet of Boaz. That's the issue there. And Boaz was a godly man. If he would have suspected that she came to seduce him, he would have told her, run away from here. Or she would be stoned. What did he tell her? I will do it. She told him, you are the Redeemer. Do your job. And according to the Bible, if you have a brother and your brother is married and the brother does not have children and now he's dead, you, the brother, supposed to take your brother's wife in order to bring a child from her, in order to keep the name of the family. The child that will be has the same status as your brother, not as your child. Heritage-wise, he's taking the 50% if you are the only two brothers. It's building up a name. It's giving out of yourself. So Boaz told her, there is another person in front of me. In chapter 4, he's mentioned there, under John Doe. They didn't put his name in order not to shame him. But he must be or a brother of Boaz or a very close family. Both of them are close family of Abimelech anyway. Hey, you need to take Ruth. And then he looks at Ruth. Wow. 90-60-90, who wouldn't want to marry her? Looks like Miss Universe. Of course, why not? And then he says, it's a package deal. Nice to meet Naomi. And by the way, you know that when there will be a baby, it cuts what you give to your children. Okay, 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 okay. Thank you, but no thank you. I'm busy. I'm in love with my wife. I don't need another one. I just paraphrase it, okay? So he took his hand out of the issue. And there is a procedure. It's a shame because it means that you don't want to give. You do not love. There is no love in your life for your kin. So the procedure is that you take a shoe and smash his face. Oh, yes. If today people do so, less will be divorced. So the idea is, this is the issue we laugh about, but that's the biblical procedure. So he let go, and Boaz takes it. And see what happened there. It's really... Wow, we run through so much. Okay, let's see. Yes, Ruth chapter 1. So Boaz offered John Doe, you know, the guy that is not mentioned, to perform the redemption. Boaz explained the price of the redemption and its ramifications, and the description of the ancient procedure. The witnesses approves the marriage, and see what happened. Now the other people approves that Boaz and Ruth are married, okay? Boaz and Ruth are married, and see, there is something unique there. That's a problem with touch screen. Okay. Who chooses the name of the baby of Ruth? What? The ladies of the neighborhood. I repeat. Now, Boaz and Ruth are together. And what did he tell her? You chose me. You are my unique woman. You could choose any one of the young ones, but you went to do God's procedure. So, according to rabbinical traditions, and in this way you can take it or leave it, nothing will happen. Boaz is not the one who chooses the name. You know why? He died. God kept him just to give his seed. According to rabbinical tradition, in the same night they were married, she became pregnant, and he died in the middle of the act. She kept him on her stomach until the morning, so the people will take him away from her as a witness. The seed came from him. Therefore, he was not there to choose the name. And the name was chosen by the godly women in the neighborhood, as we call it, in the city, in that area. Okay? And what was the name? Oved, who is the grandfather of whom? David. End of story. That's what we wanted. All the book of Ruth is a side issue to introduce David. Why did we go into it? There is no king in Israel. Everyone is doing what he wants. And God says, hey guys, it's my place. There is a king in Israel. Here is David in your face. Now we jump to first Samuel chapter 17. 57 to 58. Please open it. It's really nice because we need to read it. 1 Samuel, chapter 17. Everyone knows the story of Goliath. Nathan, remember Goliath? Absolutely. What happened to him? He have lost his head. I know. Okay. Now, see the procedure. Depends what commentaries you read, and be careful when you read commentaries, okay? When you read a commentary, always keep your brain working. Reading a commentary does not mean someone else thinks for you and your filter is dead. Be like the Bereans. Always check. Now, people give you the story of David and Goliath, and how do they teach it? This is how to stand before crisis in your life. This is how to kill the giants of your life. By prayer, by this, and by this. Okay, of course. I'll do it by the power of God and by prayer. But that's not the reason for this story. Okay? And remember, sometimes God gives you a full story. There's a lot of things you can take from it. But the reason it was there, the bullet between the eyes, as we call it in the Middle East, is as follows. Chapter 17, verse 57 to 58. I will read it. And when David returned from hitting the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Shaul. Shaul, that's the king. And the head of the Philistine is in the hands of David. Imagine David, 16-year-old, goes with the head. Not with the body, with the head. David, what do you have in your head? And, oh, it's a head. Whose? Goliath. David, are you walking with the head of a person? Yes, it's fun. He's walking with the head. And what do you think? The Bible put it there for nothing? Pay attention to the words of King Shaul. And by the way, King Shaul knew David. 5 months earlier, David came twice a week to play for King Shaul because he had lost his mood, if you remember. Okay? So King Shaul have seen David, have heard his music, and even tried to kill him with a spear a few times. So don't tell me you don't know him. Remember that. Now continue. Now, and Shaul, and he told to him, Shaul, hey, the son of who you are you? You boy, and David told him, the son of your servant or slave, Jesse, from the house of Bethlehem. Why do you think it's there? People tell me, King Shaul promised that whoever killed Goliath will be tax-free for the rest of his life. Well, that's nice. But when you check how much times Shaul really kept his word, it's like a promise written on ice. That means when the sun comes, no promise is there. Okay? So, don't take his word very long. He says great things, but he didn't keep them. But when you check the wordings, that's how it goes. David held the hands of a person who wanted to destroy all Israel. And all Israel were terrified of him. When he came out of his cave, all the Israeli soldiers dirt their pants. Okay, that was the situation. And here, David, who is the descendant for the Messiah, takes out the head of the one who put the seed of the woman in jeopardy. So, see the wordings of Shaul. The son of who are you? In a sense, the child, the son of, kills the devil. It goes back to Genesis 3:15. What was the promise in Genesis 3:15? I will put enmity between you and the woman, the seed of the snake, the devil, and the seed of the woman. He what? He will crush your head, and you will bruise his heel. Okay? So here we have judges, no judge in Israel. People do what they want. Without God, there will be no everlasting peace, and they will kill themselves. So they come to the conclusion, there is no king in Israel. God is not in control. And God says, yes, I am in control. I'll bring the Messiah. Who did you bring? David. What will David do? He will take the head of the devil. This is the line. This is the story above. This is the front that you see as major story in these three books. Of course, there are major and beautiful other things you can study. I'm not saying not. But why these stories are there? Why these portions are there? Always bring you back to Genesis 3:15. If you do not find Christ in a major story, you didn't study it well. That's the bottom line. God is not in the storytelling. God is in the Messiah business. The tool to bring it, it's a story. But if you didn't find the Messiah, you did not understand the story. That's all. So how does it bring back me to take it home? God is in control. Even if you see all the world upside down, God is still alive, God is still awake, and his plan will take place. That's number one. Number two, never ever try to make peace without God. It simply doesn't work. Peace will only come with the blood of Christ. Number three, the Messiah is Jesus. He will come. And he took the head of the devil off. And by doing so, he gave us salvation and life. He took away the curse of sin so we may be dressed with his righteousness and have life. You miss that, you go to hell. You know that by God's grace, you have life, life eternal. Let's remember these principles when we read the rest of the Bible. Father in heaven, I thank you for your word. I beg you, Lord, that you will give us the joy to continue to study and always, Father, to see your fingerprint. What do you want to tell us in this story? What is the major issue there, Father? I thank you, Lord, for your goodness. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that does not leave us, but dwell in us and walk in us. Father, just pray that whatever we do will give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.